Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a little cooler every day.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that. I'm into that little cooler deal.
Of course. It's like, you know, after so many months of sweltering heat, it's like a little cool down is nice. It's a little refreshing.
That's right. And it's football season. All the high schools are now getting into football and the bands are playing and marching bands, and it takes you back, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's all. I hate to say it, but I believe football season is the greatest time of year. Some would disagree.
Well, everybody loves it. You know, you talk about what they'll spend at these schools. They will spend money on coaches. I mean, a lot more than they will a teacher, and then on equipment. The nicest fields. They have to have everything when it comes to football.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
In high schools now, they've got volleyball, big volleyball deals going on. It's just, they've got so many sports that you can just look down and they say, here's your choices. You can play tennis, you can play football, just everything.
Yeah.
It's come a long way.
It really has. And the amount of money that people spend on sports now has just gone through the roof. Not only for like parents of you know, kids in school who play, but all the things that you can get like at the stadium, the types of merchandise, all of it. I mean, it's crazy what's out there now. It's a ton.
And with soccer, you have to have more than one uniform. Yeah, sometimes you have to have three or four to play soccer.
Really?
Yep, I can attest to that.
Wow.
I know all about these uniforms this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm into that.
Yeah.
Basketball, soccer, I've got one in soccer, the same one's in basketball. One of the others is a volleyball champion.
Ooh,
and,
really?
Yes, she's in the ninth grade. She's taking the 10th grade right now to get it out of the way.
Wow.
She wants to play soccer in college, and so she's doing a private soccer camp and hoping to get in. And she's doing all honors.
Wow.
All of her classes honors. And playing soccer and doing honors and making it.
Honors and sports at the same time?
And at the same time.
Wow.
And she has to get up at 5:45 to go up to the school.
Oh, my word.
I mean, so you've got to be dedicated.
Yeah, you do.
This girl is dedicated.
My goodness. For most people, it's one or the other. You're either academic or you're into sports, but not both. That's impressive.
That's right. She's a very impressive girl. I mean, she's trying to get the 10th grade out of the way now, where that next year she'll be doing 11th grade.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. That's really cool.
It is cool. And I went and watched her play this week, and I'm impressed.
Wow! And she's good at sports too. I'm not just
she's very good. Yes, when she applied at the soccer place, she had to try out. I think four times.
Oh, really?
And they finally picked her. Yeah.
Wow! Has she tried other things?
No, she was drawn to volleyball, and so that's what she is maintaining. She thinks she can get a volleyball scholarship to college.
Wow.
But she knows that she has to be top of the line and really work hard at it in order to do it.
Wow.
It's not going to be a piece of cake.
No, that's impressive. That is really impressive. I mean, I don't know that most people, especially that age, have that kind of dedication and that kind of drive. Most people.
Yeah, because she's only 14 years old.
Oh, my word.
She's only 14.
Wow.
And she's taking 10th grade courses now.
Good Lord.
Yes.
So she could work at NASA if she wanted to.
Well, she doesn't know what she wants to do. She wanted to be a marine biologist. And she found out what they make, and she said, I can't afford to do that.
they
don't make enough money.
No.
You do, can you imagine?
You do that for the love of the field, not for...
That's right. She said, no, They don't make enough money. I couldn't live on that.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody, most people, I think, I mean, I haven't researched it in detail, but I think most people, you know, physicists and all of them, none of them make a ton of money. They do it for the science, and that's it. You got to love it to do it.
Yeah, because you've got to give up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
You know? So I told her there's a lot of other things in science that does pay well.
Yeah. Well,
that she might have to look into some of the other kinds, you know, in order to make that work.
Well, I mean, if she's that smart, she's probably going to have her pick of pretty much whatever she wants to do.
So, I think she will.
Yeah.
If she can just keep the pace up, it's a pretty demanding pace, but if she can keep it up, I think she'll really do well.
Yeah. I mean, that is a pace. I mean, most people, you know, most adults don't have that kind of drive. So
I know, to get up at 5:45,
yeah,
and go up there, then she has to practice 3 hours at night.
Jeez. So what time does her day end?
I don't think it ends till about 11.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, I don't think she gets through with everything till about 11.
Oh, my God. And then back up at 5:45?
Yes.
Wow. Does she even have time to sleep, or is there...
It's a short night, I think.
Yeah.
I told her she's going to get so sleepy that she'd fall asleep in class.
Oh, my word. I can't even imagine that. Wow. Kudos for being able to do that and wanting to do it. It's not like anybody's even forcing her.
Yeah, I mean, she has the desire for it, and she's good enough to do it, so she's just doing it.
Wow, that's commendable. That is fantastic. I certainly wasn't
that
driven.
She's the smartest one of the kids, by the way.
Oh, I have no trouble believing that.
The smartest are. I wish they were, but they're not.
Yeah. Wow. So she'll be going to college when she's, what, 17? 16?
Yeah. 16 or 17. I guess 17, probably.
Oh, my word. Oh, my goodness. Well, then she better hurry up and figure out what she wants to do, because she's running out of time. I mean, my gosh.
That's right. She's going to be there before you know it.
Yeah. She's almost 15. You got to make a choice.
Yeah, almost 15 years old.
Wow. That is fantastic. That is really cool. I wish we were all driven that way. Wouldn't it be nice?
I wish we were all that smart, don't you?
Yeah. We'd be making billions of dollars by now if we were that smart. She'll invent something or something.
We'd be making computers like Michael Dell did in his garage. He's supposed to be going to college.
Yeah.
And he wasn't showing up for college. He's making computers. You know? A lot of these self-made guys did a lot of things in the garage rather than going to college.
They did. And how they were even smart enough to get the components. You know, I get a new piece of equipment and have to buy like 15 different wires just because I can't even figure out what goes where. And these people are like making things up and just hooking things up. And it's like, how does your brain even work that way? I don't even understand. It's crazy.
I don't know. All these engineers that do all this are so smart.
Yeah, half of them are so smart they can't even tie their own shoes. I wish I was
smart.
That's
exactly right. And a lot of them are not socially compatible with other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They just go off in a room and sit there. No, they're not.
And then come out a few months later with some magical device that it's like, how did we live without these things? So,
that's right. And we would say, oh, my gosh, this does this, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I would sacrifice being socially weird to make some cool stuff. I think that'd be cool.
It would be cool.
Yeah, then we wouldn't, we could all work for ourselves, invent things, and just, you know, go on and vacation and retire in the Maldives someplace. At age 20.
You know what I'm always shocked is when people move from the United States to places like Spain. What does Spain have to offer that you couldn't get right here in the States? I mean, I'm confused.
I really don't know.
Because they don't speak English. You know, it's a Spanish language.
I don't
know. How do you survive over there?
I don't know. I've never even been there. I have no idea.
I had a friend that went there on vacation.
Really?
And she had a little difficulty with the language.
I'm sure. So they don't speak any English at all over in Spain, do they? Like none?
She didn't seem to act like they did.
Huh. See, I probably would never go to visit. I'd have to pick someplace where they speak English, like UK, Ireland, you know, someplace like that. Because I'm not good at learning. I can barely speak English. I can't learn another language at this point.
Well, I don't know what they would do with you. They might not let you in the country. They might say, you know, you can't come in. You can't even speak our language.
They would. They would say, turn around and go home.
That's right.
Except I wouldn't know what they're saying.
Go home. That's what they'd say.
Yeah, although I wouldn't understand what they're saying because I don't speak the language.
No, but they'd be pointing their finger at you, I guarantee that.
Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what are the big highlights this week? Anything exciting and fun?
Well, we're working on about four policies.
Really?
That we've got approved. We don't have them closed yet. But that's the biggest news is we do have some policies. And, you know, they've been running really short. And, of course, you know, we've had a lot of maturities. You know, we've had about $5 million. And we've got one more now. It's a small policy, about $250,000. But we've had a lot of maturities. And we just need about another $10 million and we'll be fine.
Wow. It seems like the last couple of weeks you say, oh, we can't find policies, there's none out there, and then all of a sudden, boom, you've got four.
Yeah, we finally found somebody that had some that met our criteria. People had some, but they were long. They were 6 to 10 years.
No way.
So we turned all those down, and then another one said the lady had stopped taking chemo. Well, if she's not doing chemo, we don't want it.
Mm-mm.
You know, we need somebody that's actively got cancer that is under treatment. Yeah. If they're not under treatment, they're not sick enough for us.
Mm-mm. No.
So that's what we're looking for, is somebody that has stage 4 cancer. They've got 2 years or 2.5 years to live. And with short-term premiums, the premiums are less than 1% if possible. And that makes it a great deal for our investors and us.
Yeah. I mean, like a couple of years ago, you were talking about premiums, and they weren't much more than that. But it seems like over the years, you've really kind of honed that down so that the profit margin is even more.
We have. We found out that it needed to be set, that it couldn't go up at least for the next 7 to 10 years.
Hmm.
So if it can't be converted to permanent, you know, that premium has got to stay down for a lot of years. So we're checking that, and that's another thing. We were offered a couple of policies that were going to go up, and we don't want some that can go up in the next 5, 10 years. We want them that they're going to stay stable for that it'll be easy for them to pay if it goes over. So we've made all those changes to better serve the clients,
well,
to make them happier and us happier.
Yeah, I mean, even during those times where there aren't a ton of policies available, and I know clients will call you and say, you know, hey, are there any policies? I really want to get in one. And if there aren't any available, you don't sacrifice what your goals are because you know.
No, we have to just back off and do without.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have the criteria that our clients expect,
yeah.
Because, you know, we know what they want. They want short term. They want cheap premiums. They want someone that's got stage 4 cancer, not stage 1 or 2, and that is actively cancer. Sometimes they'll say, well, this person's doing so much better. And I go, well, if they're doing much better, we don't want them.
Yeah,
they
no.
need to just keep their policy.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I know when you're looking at it, you know, there's some people that I'm sure would probably maybe panic a little bit and they might, you know, extend out. They might, you know, loosen up the guardrails that they've got in place. And well, we'll try this, even though it's not exactly what we're looking for. But you hold you hold fast, you hold steady, because in some cases where things are a little bit slower as far as policy availability, it's better to not have a policy than to be in a policy that, you know, is going to go on for 10 or 20 years.
That's right. We're not interested in that. We've already done that.
Yeah.
You know, we've got those old policies. We still don't have all of them gone, but we're trying to get rid of all the old policies. I think there's two or three left. And when those are gone, then it'll be smooth sailing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, I know it's kind of a waiting game for, you know, what's available, and those things will change here and there. But, you know, just the fact that you stay focused on what the whole point of the investment is, I would say that probably investors really appreciate that. And so.
Well, I think they do, because when they have a maturity, like the one that this week, we had a new maturity, and it's paying 28%.
Wow.
And that's a good average.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can make 28%, you're doing good.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, there's a ton of different investment opportunities that people could get into, and then you're roped into something that is a long-term thing. You can't get out of it. You know, look at real estate, look at REITs, look at, you know, all these different things, and those are all, you know, depending on how the market is, what's hot today, what's hot tomorrow, what was hot yesterday. You know, there's all these different variables that go into how much people can make on these different investments. But with a life insurance policy, you don't have that. I mean, life settlements are their own thing that aren't affected by anything else, which is another great thing that makes the investment so popular with people, I would think.
That's what they love. Everybody loves it because they know what they're going to make going in. And how many investments can you make that you absolutely know what you'll make? A lot of investments, it's maybe, you know, we think you'll make this, but we don't know. And with ours, you know going in what your profit is, what your exposure is, how long it's going to be before you get your money.
Yeah.
So I think that's the best of all worlds.
It is. I mean, it's such a well-informed type of investment. There's nothing else that I can think of out there even like it. It's just, you know, all you have to do is you basically set it and forget it and then just wait. So.
And, you know, there's more and more people getting in to life settlements.
Yeah.
I had a call this week from Japan.
Really?
People wanting to invest in life settlements. Can you imagine?
They looked
us up and said, we see that you do life settlements. They said, what is the minimum investment and the maximum? You know, they ask a lot of questions.
Wow.
And I thought that, yeah, they were intelligent. And I told them they must be accredited. You know, that they had to make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million. And they said, do you have to have all the records? I said, we have to have all kinds of certification saying that that's how much you make.
Yeah. You can't just take their word for it. I mean,
going to take their word for it if they're out of the country.
Yeah.
They also said they had family here in the United States.
Really?
Yeah. They said, we have friends and family in the U.S., he spoke perfect English.
I just can't believe you got a call from the other side of the planet.
I did. And I don't know why they called us, but they said they were looking for life settlement companies, and they saw us. So they just sent an email and called.
I'd have never guessed that in a million years, you know.
Yeah.
I might have guessed, okay, New Mexico, you know, maybe.
Yeah, New Mexico or Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah, sure.
Yeah, because we've had a lot of calls from Oklahoma. We have several customers in Oklahoma.
Do you really?
And we have one in California. He was from Midland, and he moved to California several years ago. And so we take care of him. We've got some people in New Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I guess.
Yeah, we have a few people in different places. Well, most of them are related to somebody else.
Mm.
And so the person that first came to us, then they recommend us to their relatives. And the relatives call and say, you know, we're the brother, we're the sister of this person, and we'd like to invest.
So it just kind of spreads like wildfire.
It does. And also this week, a couple of our good clients, their sister called and said, you know, we've just come into some money, and we'd like to put it with you. I said, okay, come to the Midland office, and we'll fix it up.
Wow. That's pretty spectacular.
And we did.
You know, and it's a really big deal, and I know we've talked about this before, but you know, to get recommendations from people, that's kind of a big deal. It's not just some stranger that you want to, you know, play tricks on and you know, see what they're going to do and kind of mess with them a little bit and you know, anything like, but if you recommend something, anything to a friend or a family member, you're essentially putting your name on it and saying, hey, I vouch that this is something decent, because if it goes wrong, you not only have a rift in the family, but then you could be no longer friends and all kinds of things could turn into a fight. And, you know, so when you get recommendations like that, it really says a lot for your current investors, especially the ones that have been with you, I guess, a long time, several years, and have made money over the years. And many of your most successful clients have been with you for a long time, because they're always in policies, right?
That's right. They're always in policies. If they're not, we're putting them in one. And like several of my clients were in these $5 million worth of policies the other day. So their wealth has been increased a lot, I'll tell you, because most of the people got back about $100,000 apiece.
Wow.
Yeah. They had invested about $70,000. Or maybe 72, somewhere in there. So they got back at least 100,000.
Oh, my word.
Yes. And then it took the people a little longer to give us their money. So they made another $700 in extra interest.
That's just because it took so long for them to...
It took them so darn long to pay us.
Which is frustrating, you know? But knowing that you can make extra money on top of that, I mean, that's kind of pretty cool.
Yeah, they got paid for their time. But it was ReliStar, and I don't know why it took them so long to pay, because people were calling me saying, when do you think the check will be here? And I'm saying, well, it should have already been here. And then we finally got it, and then we had that extra interest, which did help them a lot.
Yeah.
So they got paid for that extra time.
I mean, that's, I can understand, you know, okay, yeah, this is taking longer than I wanted to, but boy, an extra amount of profit in there, it really kind of, it makes that a whole lot better. I would be like,
it goes down a lot easier when you make an extra profit. $700 to be exact.
Yeah. I mean, that's the name of the game, is about profit. It's about making money. It's about, you know, and so, okay, so somebody's paid something a little bit later than they normally would have. All that matters, I mean, the point of all this is to make money in a conservative manner. And knowing that you can make money on many different levels, especially if, yeah, okay, so when you're doing a life settlement, you don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, do I have to get up in the middle of the night, check my portfolio, is it all still there? All that's gone. But then there's all these other opportunities to make more money on top of it. And I just think, you know, that the more people that you have who have been with you for so long that are in, you know, 5, 10, 20, correct me if I'm wrong, policies at any given time, and they've been doing this year after year, policy after policy, I can't even imagine what that has probably racked up to in profit over the years. And so it's,
well,
just...
it's a lot, because every once in a while, I'll add it up for people as to what their profit is and send it to them. Because mostly what they do, they go in and look at the screenshot, and it just tells how much is invested, how much they made on that one policy. But they don't go down there and add it all up like we'll do. And we'll add it up and send them to them lots of times.
Wow. I bet that's shocking. I'm just sitting here doing, while you're saying that, okay, over the lifetime of the entire time that any random investor has been investing, they have, you know, made this much money. Whereas in contrast, I'm sure people, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, people who have been in the stock market who have thought they've made a ton of money over the years, things go up and they go down, and then they go up and then they go down, and they've thought that they've made a whole lot more, and they actually haven't. And I'm sure people who are in life settlements are shocked in a good way, and those who are sometimes in the stock market are shocked in a very disappointing way.
Well, and let me remind you something. One of the clients that came to me this last couple, 3 weeks, whatever it was, we issued one of his annuities And we told him how much he made in bonus. His bonus was $74,000.
Whoa, really? That's just the bonus? Wow.
That's his bonus is $74,000.
Oh.
So that's that money's already been added to his annuity.
Wow.
Isn't that spectacular?
Oh, my word. I didn't know. We talk about, the bonuses and the 14% and all that, but boy, you put an actual dollar amount on it.
That's right. Wow. It's real money when you add it up for real.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, we told him what he'd made. He was impressed. I was impressed.
I'm impressed.
Because lots of times we don't add it up to see what their bonus was.
Yeah.
But we did, and we saw it, and I said, my gosh, it's $74,000 that he's already made in bonuses. I mean, that's spectacular.
Yeah, I didn't know. I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. I don't think I was even expecting anything. I don't think I'd even thought about how much it would translate to dollar-wise, but boy, oh boy.
Yeah, because we always just say 14% bonus.
Yeah.
We don't ever use a figure because we don't know how much they're going to put in. But, if you go back, if we had went back and looked at all the bonuses people have made in the last year, it would add up to a lot of money.
Wow. And that's just the bonus. I remember, was it like almost this time last year, or maybe even into like October, November, there were rumors that bonus was going to go away, and it never did.
Yeah, and I don't know if somebody in corporate talked to them and said, it's working well, everybody likes it, let's just leave it. I don't know what happened, because we were so worried there for a while that it was going away, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So we've been very lucky about that. It stayed with us,
yeah.
Which I love.
I know. Every month I'm always like, is this the month that it's going away? And nope, it's still there. And now to hear that, you added it up and somebody's, brought in 74 grand in just bonuses. I'm like, $74,000 is nothing to sneeze at. Wow.
Well, it's funny. A company called me this week and said, wouldn't you like to represent us? And they were just talking about all this stuff that their company did and what their policy did. And they said, and we're worth $1 billion. I said, a billion? I said, we're working with companies that are worth $60 billion. We're big time. We're not dealing with some little company.
They thought it was a big deal.
They thought $1 billion was a lot of money.
Yeah.
I said, no, we think $60 billion's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. You're thinking way bigger than that. Wow.
Yeah, we're thinking a lot. We're not thinking of a hometown grown insurance company. We're thinking about a big company.
Yeah.
And a Texas company.
And
own three companies.
Wow.
And all of them are worth billions and billions.
Yeah. And that's a big deal. It's like, in some cases, in some circles, having the company worth $1 billion is great. But boy, I mean, I guess you kind of like smashed that glass ceiling, years ago. And so now you're dealing with these, bigger companies. And so it's just, that just shows that the foundation is there, the resources are there. And so, you're looking for a solid foundation. That's it. I don't know how much more solid you could possibly be.
Because they can do so much more.
Yeah.
If you're worth $60 billion, you can offer, better rates,
mm-hmm.
a lot more choices, which we've got a lot of choices. And they do things like when you die, you can get the money out. I know several insurance companies that if you die, you have to take a payout. You can't just give the heirs all their profit right then. You have to take a payout.
Really?
So that's the first thing I would ask if somebody said, this annuity you're going to sell me, how do I get my money? And if they say you have to take a payout after 10 years, say, I don't think so. I believe I'll go with Faye. Hers, at 10 years, you can walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, and there's all kinds of ways that people can set these up. You were talking about the options. Is there's what, 14, 15 different options?
There's a lot of choices. And when you do indexes, you've got so many choices. And then if an index they don't think is paying well enough, they'll take it out and substitute another one.
Hmm.
So your indexes are, a lot easier to do than the stock market. It mirrors the stock market. You're never in the stock market. You don't ever have that loss capability. You've got the stop gap there where if if everything goes down, yours doesn't go down. And if you're getting ready to retire, you don't want anything that goes down.
Mm-mm.
You want it to go up or nothing. Up or nothing. Anything that's going down, it's not for you at 65, I can tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. And people may end up going back to work at you know, 80 years old.
They don't want to do that either, let me tell you. I hear good stories about these women working at 100.
Oh,
that's pretty damn impressive. This lady owns a furniture store. She goes down there every day.
Really?
She said that's what's kept her going, is she has to work every day in her furniture store. So it's kept her alive and, you know, walking, talking. And she said she still feels young.
So she's 100 years old, literally.
She's 100 years old, literally.
And owns a furniture
store.
Her
and her family have had this furniture store for years and years. And her and her husband started it. And she's still there, by the way.
Wow.
And she works in the bookkeeping department. Now, let me tell you, that would be impressive. I mean, you go in there and you buy something. She says, I'll take care of that. Hand me your ticket. I can just see it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's... let me see your ticket. I'll take care of it.
Woo.
And then she goes and puts it in the books. That would be impressive, wouldn't it?
It is very impressive. Just the fact that she goes in every day, so she's physically there, and then just to have the mental sharpness and the capacity to do that at 100 years old, I'm impressed. I'm thoroughly impressed. Wow.
I've read two or three stories lately of people that old that are just going strong. Their mind's good. Their body's halfway good, you know. And now they didn't say if she drives or not. I don't know about that.
Mm.
But she probably does. You just don't want to get on the highway with her.
No.
I mean, you don't want to meet her on the highway.
No, you don't. But you meet her at the furniture store, that's for sure. Maybe
and she calls everybody by name. They said when people come in, she greets them.
Really? That's impressive. That is really impressive.
It is. It shows what stock she's from.
Wow. I know people half her age who aren't that sharp.
They're not that sharp, are they?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So, I mean, yeah, you could do that. And you hear a lot of stories like that, yes? Several?
I've heard two or three stories of people that old that still own their business or still working.
That's impressive. Most of us don't. Most of us, I'm sure, can't wait to retire and go off someplace and travel and, you know, do whatever. If you want to work when you're 100, I suppose you can if you want to, but you shouldn't want to have to, you shouldn't have to, wait, how am I saying this? You shouldn't have to.
Well,
it
should be a matter of choice. That's what you want to say.
That's exactly.
It should be, I want to go to work every day. Not, I have no money, I've got to go to work and gather some money every day, you know?
Yeah, that's...
But these people say, the ones that I've read about, so that's what's kept them going. They have that necessity to go in every day and to help.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't want to stay home and play in the garden and do all that.
I wonder if they tried retirement and then just couldn't stand it anymore, and so they just said, "Nope, I'm going, you know, back into the family business."
And, yeah, well, you know, when you have a family business, it's more important that you're there than if you were working for someone else.
Yeah.
But as I said, I've read two or three stories about people that age still going strong, and their minds are good. Their body's not quite as good, but the mind is good. If you've got your mind, you've got everything.
Yeah, you really do. Most people I know are looking forward to retiring and going off places. But I remember people from 2008 that were, you know, looking to retire or getting close. And then 2008 happened and they didn't get to do all the things that they had wanted to do because they had to go back to work when things crashed.
And so, a lot of them, you know, couldn't sell their houses then.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to move and... You know, COVID, people couldn't go and look at a house because, you know, they didn't want anybody in their houses with germs. I mean, everybody was so paranoid.
Yeah.
You know? And so it made a difference.
It really did.
And, yeah, and it depends. It seems like most of these people that are still going strong live in small towns, by the way.
You know, I don't have any trouble believing that, too. I can see that, you know, where you know everybody and it's the slower pace. And, yeah, I get
that. And I know that people that drive into their 90s and 100, they all live in small towns. Hmm. And everybody is used to seeing them drive, and they don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
They say, you know, there comes Charlie, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And they've known, you know, the generations of people, you know, the parents, you know, their kids, probably their grandkids, maybe even their great grandkids. And so, you know, they know all the people, they know their families, they know everybody, and they still remember their names. So that's impressive.
Right. Generations after generations. You know?
Yeah. We can't all do that. So the rest of us have to plan for retirement.
That's right. And like, I've got a lot of clients that are retiring this year, and they're putting money with us, and I like that. And, you know, they have family already with us.
Yeah.
So they're coming over because their family has said, you know, we've made money with Faye. And we're still making money with her.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And then, you know, especially when you have a conservative type of investment, and you can only say this with a conservative investment. You can't say it if you're, you know, full in on the stock market or anything like that, because at some point it's going to go down. Every other investment has its downturns. It's just, it's fact. It's historically a fact. And so with a conservative investment, you can still invest even after retirement and still make more money. You've got investors, I think, if I remember this correctly, you've got investors who have been investing for a long time. They're still investing. They're retiring, and they're only living off of the interest. Is that correct?
Or did I say that? A lot of them are. Yeah. They've got enough interest that they're not getting into their principal in anything we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
it depends how conservative they are. You know,
yeah.
If we have all their money, they've got plenty of interest. They don't have to touch it. And they've maybe one investment and they're living off of that. And then they've got several others with us and they're not even touching those accounts.
Wow.
Because a lot of people have two or three accounts. They'll have a Roth, they'll have a regular IRA, and then they'll have maybe a corporate deal with us and then a joint one with their wife. So lots of times people have several accounts. And they'll take just one account and use it for retirement. And they'll keep the others, just the interest going and piling up on it. And they don't bother those accounts.
I hear one word. When you describe it like that, I hear one word, and that's diversification. And that seems
that's
like...
That's right. They are very diversified. We don't put everything in one deal, never. You've got to have a lot of policies. You've got to have them diversified. If you put everything in one policy, that would not be a good idea.
No. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
I love the trivia today. I love it. It's about Enos, Texas.
Ooh.
Yeah, Enos, Texas got more going for it than any little town around. In 1871, the Houston and Texas Railroad arrived there, and it became Enos. It was named after Cornelius Enos. He was the founder of the H&TC Railroad.
Really?
And, so it started in 1871. And between 1874 and 1890, the population grew from 300 to 3,000.
Oh, wow.
Now, where do you think all these people came from? They all came from Europe. They were Czech and Soviet migrants.
Really? I did not guess that.
They're almost all Czechoslovakians that came to Enos in the 1874s. Can
wow.
you imagine?
That's impressive.
And it became a center for trade, commerce, all this. And then in 1891... it was chosen for the Northern Division of the railroad. And they had machine shops and a roundhouse. And the roundhouse employed a lot of men. And the condition of this agreement was, as long as Enos could furnish water to them, they could not be moved from the community. They established three dadgum lakes to keep the water going where they wouldn't lose the railroad.
Oh, wow.
3 dadgum lakes. I mean, you know, and then in July 4th, 1902, Corsicana, the all city of the Texas League, was supposed to have a ball game. Well, Texarkana and Corsicana, they had Sunday blue laws, and so you couldn't have the game there. So they had the game in Ennis, and a future major leaguer, Nick Clark, set an all-time record. He had 8 home runs.
Whoa.
And 10 at-bats.
Really?
The score was 51-3.
And that's baseball.
That's baseball. Then the railroad, the cotton industry needed the railroad. They had access to foreign and domestic markets through Port of Houston. By 1920, a total of 152,000 bales of cotton was ginned and shipped from Ellis County.
Oh, my word.
The most of any county in America.
Wow.
Yeah. And their slogan in Ennis was, "Railroads and cotton fields meet."
Neat. That's cool.
And then they made so much money there. They had lawyers, they had doctors, businessmen, and everybody became wealthy. They built churches. They did everything in the world. And then along the avenue, they built all these elegant Victorian homes.
Oh.
And to this day, they have a parade of homes every once in a while for all these Victorian homes.
Really?
And they, by mid-20th century, they'd become very modern. They had schools, movie theaters, several drug stores, banks, and a lot of automobile dealerships. And the people that had developed them, they started having festivals. They had a national polka festival. The Blue Bonnet Trail is in Ennis.
Ooh, really?
Yes. They have a blues festival. They have every kind of festival in the world in Ennis, Texas.
Wow.
Now then. The downtown and the Interstate 45 was hit by a tornado May 15th, 2013. Now, a lot of those beautiful homes was damaged. Everybody wanted to tear them down and tear down the businesses that had taken such a hit. And everybody threw a fit. They said, no, our houses, all these old beautiful homes, you've got to restore them. And they did. And they restored all the damaged buildings.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad they decided not to tear them down, because, boy, when you said there's all those Victorian homes, I'm like, ooh, imagine all the architecture. And if that
yeah, it is.
Wow.
And then they were in the path of the solar eclipse, April 8th of 24,
really?
One of the few cities in America. And the eclipse lasted 4 minutes and 23 seconds.
Wow. I remember
total eclipse. Yeah, and people were driving out there where they could be a part of it.
Yes. Parking along the streets, camping out, all of it.
That's exactly what happened. Yes, they were. They were doing everything. And it's shocking to me that there is 30 famous people from Ennis, Texas.
What? Are 30. You serious? 30?
I mean, it's the most I've seen in any town that we've done a story on.
Oh, my word.
I mean, it's just amazing. Vincent Paul Abbott and his brother Daryl, they were musicians, songwriters. They co-founded Pantera.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, Bob Banner, he was a producer and co-producer of the Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, my
He's
word.
He's from there. I mean, Chase Craig, the cartoonist who worked with Dell Comics, he was from there.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Red Duke, the doctor, the trauma surgeon, he was the one that took care of President Kennedy at Parkland.
Really? Oh,
yes.
Wow.
I mean, there's so many famous people. It just amazes me.
Wow.
And several gospel singers, blues singers, a lot of them are from there. Robert Crandall Olmsted, the guy who founded Randall's Food Markets in Texas. He's
really?
From there.
Really? That's
yes.
cool. Oh, my word.
Ginger Rogers is from Ennis, Texas.
No. Are you serious?
Yes,
wow.
Yes. I mean, it's just, it is amazing to me. Tanya Godsey, musician, vocalist, and pianist. And it's a lot of NFL players is from there. Jacob Crowley, rodeo cowboy and saddle bronc racer, he's from there.
Really?
It's just, and Alfred Bennett, district judge of the United States for the Southern District of Texas, he's from there.
Oh, my word.
I mean, it's just, it reads like who's who. All these people went to school there, lived there, and became famous.
Who would have ever thought? I mean, I would have thought all these famous people would have come from, you know, like a large city, or Dallas, maybe Houston.
Oh, yeah, but no.
No.
And Van Holliday, physicist, is from there.
Really?
He's a physicist. These people are so smart.
Yeah.
And I love all the holidays they have there. You know, they have the Polka Festival. They have, you know, the Flower Festival. They've got the Blues Festival. And then they have a racetrack there, a car racetrack there also. I mean, it's called Texas Motorplex. It's in Ennis.
Jeez.
And so they have car racing, and it was built in 1986. Bill Meyer, the funny car driver.
This is just a who's who.
It is. It's a who's who in America in Ennis, Texas.
Wow.
Then they have the Kachina Prairie. It's a city park, and they preserve the examples of untouched Texas blackland prairie.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah. And so that's there. It's just, it goes on and on. And all these people, I'm shocked that they're all from Ennis and did this well.
I know it. And it sounds like a fun place to be. You know, with all the festivals, you know, instead of calling it, you know, having their slogan be like railroads and cotton fields meet, it ought to be festival every weekend or something.
Well,
like
it
that.
Should be. And, you know, a friend of mine grew up there and she had a beautiful voice. Her whole family sang. And now I understand why, because they've got so many musicians from Ennis, Texas.
Wow.
You know, they've got blues singers. They've got every kind of singer in the world, you know, that's from Ennis.
Yeah.
And now I can understand it. I know I love to hear her sing. She has one of the most beautiful voices, and the whole family sang.
Really? So everybody was talented.
Yeah, the whole they were all very talented people, and they all went to Baylor University.
Wow, cool.
They were big, big Baylor fans.
Wow. I didn't realize that Ennis was, I guess, famous for all these people. I had no idea that there was 30 people, and that's just that we know of. There may be even more hidden somewhere that
we don't even know about.
Yeah.
And Clyde Barrow, the Bonnie and Clyde people, he was born and resided in Ennis, Texas.
Oh, wow. Oh, my word.
And the novelist and writer, Mark Busby, he's from Ennis, Texas.
Really?
Yes.
I think I'm just shocked. It's just like, you just keep coming out with name after name after name. It's just like,
yeah, I mean, it's just that way.
People I would never guess.
And this lady, and I'm going to do a story on her, Hattie Lee Hinnenberg. She was a lawyer, a judge, and she was appointed the all-woman Supreme Court back then.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Supreme Court of Texas.
How cool. Wow.
And Kirby Baxter Holmes. He was a gospel musician, pastor, instruments, and he's the one that got Martin Luther King to come to Ennis, Texas in 1959. I mean, you know, he was a gospel singer, a pastor. I mean, and there's so many NFL players from Ennis, Texas. It's just hard to believe.
Wow.
So it's one of the interesting places. If you want to go and get good gospel music, go to the Jazz Festival, go to the Polka Festival, or take the trail of the Bluebonnet Trail.
That's got to be amazing to see. That
would
Yes, really
I think
cool.
so. And all these people that are so famous. I don't know who the teachers were there. I haven't studied that part, but it had to be somebody really good.
Yeah.
Because all these people grew up there. And I do know a lot of friends of mine have taken a tour of all those stately old homes.
I would love to see those, even if, you know, restored and all. I would imagine that's just because I love architecture, and I bet that's just fascinating to see all those old homes like that.
A lot of my friends have been, and they've told me that it's fabulous.
Really?
And the church group once went down, and all of them went through them, and they were very impressed.
Wow. That would be really, really cool. And to think all this started and all these people came out of a town that started with, 300 people?
Started with 300 people. And look at all the different railroad companies that got involved there.
Yeah.
And they got in a fight with Corsicana. and they used to have a train running between Ennis and Corsicana. And they needed some bonds done. And they couldn't get Corsicana to do anything. So eventually, all the railroads went out. And automobiles came to Ennis.
I would never picture something, becoming a place on the map that we should go that has this kind of history. And the fact that all these people came from, what was it, Czechoslovakia?
They all came, they're Czechs.
How did they get there?
The original people were all Czechs. They came from Europe. Times were bad over there. They were escaping, and they escaped to America. And then a railroad guy started Ennis, Texas.
Wow. I'm just shocked and where then, it started and ended up.
Yeah, and all these people immigrated and ran businesses there. The cotton farmers, I mean, everything, did well. And none of them went broke there. After they came over. And I don't know who started the Blue Bonnets, but it's been an annual deal as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And it's a trail. You go down this trail and you see all the Blue Bonnets.
That's got to be just amazing. Just breathtaking, I would think.
It is. I've seen the pictures.
I've never been there. Have you ever been there yourself? I never have.
No, but I intend to go.
Yeah, I definitely see a road
trip. I didn't know it was
trip.
This interesting or I'd have been there before.
I know it. I had no idea. I'm like, okay. You know, if you would have last week, you know, said, hey, tell me something interesting about Ennis, Texas, and I could have told you nothing. I'm like, okay, I don't know. But boy, oh boy, who knew all this was hidden there? I didn't.
I know, and all the people
that
did so well in life, and they all came from Ennis. So they must have had great teachers, great sports, and before cars, everything started there.
Yeah. Wow. That is just really, really cool. I see a road trip. I think my list of places to go from what you've done on trivia is so long. I'm running out of paper. It's just.
Yeah, it would take a long time to do them all.
Yeah, it would.
But they're worth doing. They're all worth seeing.
They are.
You know, the painted churches, someone was there this last summer and sent me pictures of the inside of the painted churches.
Oh, my word.
And it is most. Oh, my gosh, it's wonderful.
Really? That, I remember that.
That
one.
Is something everybody should do.
Oh, wow. I bet that's just stunning.
And they had a couple of churches that's not on the tour, and they were able to talk the priest into letting them in and to photograph it.
Really? That's cool.
Yes, so I now have some extra pictures of some that I'd never seen the inside.
Wow, man.
They are beautiful, really beautiful.
I bet they are. I remember when you did that trivia, and that's one that has stuck with me that I have never forgotten. I just can't imagine how beautiful it would be just to stand there and see them all, and just I think it would be moving.
I do, too. It's very moving to see those.
Wow.
And see the workmanship. The workmanship is just outstanding.
Oh, I bet it's amazing. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Since people are getting close to retiring and they're making a ton of money, what you could do is you could put together a tour, a retirement tour package, and here's all the top 20 places that you should visit in Texas after you retire.
I know. Everybody says if I would just take the time to write the book.
You should.
And put all the pictures in and put all the places to go.
Yes.
It'd keep everybody busy for a while.
A while.
Yeah. Remember, we've been doing this about 11 years.
I know it. It's just like there's a lot of
places. Can you
imagine
how much information has been done in 11?
And how you haven't repeated is mind-blowing to me. That's pretty cool. It's fascinating. It really is. Okay. I know for a brief second, a little while ago, you were talking about the accreditation with the life settlement. Go over that again,
yes,
just to make sure what that actually
okay.
means.
To do a life settlement, you must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million, and that's without your home. You can't count your home. You can count all other assets, your IRAs, your ranch, all kinds of things, checking account, I mean, whatever, other investments, but not the home, okay? So that's part of the accreditation. The other thing is it's not liquid until it matures. I think everybody knows that. So you don't get your profit till the end. You get your profit and your money back at the end of the policy.
Okay. All right. And it could also go over.
Yes, it could. And if it went over, you would have to pay premiums. And all that is in your contract when you buy the policy. It tells you what the premium would be if it goes over. And we also, when we send out the invitation to do this policy, it's in that.
Okay.
We tell you up front what the premium would be if it goes over.
Okay. For the annuities, I know you had said you said you went back and looked at the bonus that somebody had made, and I got to tell you, I have a feeling after knowing that you spit out $74,000 for this person. Now, it depends on how much people put in and all that, but I mean that's not bad for just the bonuses. So I'm guessing probably this week you may get some calls. People wanting to know a little bit more about annuities. Are there any kind of qualifications or anything to do it, or can people
just
jump in?
It's not near as hard as it is to get into a life settlement.
Okay.
The questions are different. They want to know how much you have for emergencies, if you have enough to pay your utilities to live on, because remember, you can't take anything out for 1 year. So you have to have money at home. And all my clients are pretty wealthy, and they always make that adjustment.
Okay. All right. So then for people who want to get more information, or if they're ready to just dive in and get started, either way, they do have to set up an appointment, come talk to you. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is American Financial Midland.com.